Welcome to a fantastic word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
It is time to jump into the word. We are continuing, we are nearing the end of our series. We're going through a series entitled Faith Supplements, looking at the seven spiritual ingredients listed in 2 Peter chapter 1 on how to live a godly life. And we looked at seven spiritual ingredients on what we can add to our spiritual walk with Jesus on how we can draw closer to him. And so we talked about the very first six spiritual ingredients, and we're looking at them as supplements, like vitamins that we can add for our spiritual health. And we talked about the very first spiritual ingredient as virtue. Peter says to add to your faith virtue. And virtue we listed as the courage to do the right thing in every situation. We talked about how culture and society does not determine what the right thing is, but instead it is determined by God himself. And we talked about virtue. And then secondly, we talked about the second spiritual ingredient, knowledge, that not only do we need virtue, we need knowledge, which is knowing what the right thing is, truth acquired from God's word. It's not only good enough to do the right thing. We also must know what that right thing is. And then we talked about self-control, how it's important as we mature in our relationship with Christ to add self-control, which is the ability to do the right thing when it matters most in the time of temptation. You know, we can want to do the right thing and we can know what the right thing is, but when the time of temptation comes, that is the moment that self-control matters for us to do the right thing when it matters most, which is mastery over our desires and dominion within. And then the fourth spiritual ingredient was perseverance. We talked about the importance of remaining under discipline, to remain, to continue forth doing what matters most, even when it's difficult. You know, we talked about the importance of staying strong under pressure, whether it be with people, whether it be through situations or in our faith. And then last week, we talked about adding the spiritual ingredient of godliness, meaning God-likeness, us becoming more like him. And it's not good enough just to act godly. God doesn't want us to act godly. He wants us to become like him, to become godly. And in order to do that, we must be careful not to add an appearance of godliness, but one that comes with power as the Holy Spirit makes us more like him. And that brings us to the sixth spiritual ingredient, six out of seven, which is brotherly love. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. Thought it was interesting that brotherly kindness, you know, this is us adding to. As we mature in our faith, we learn to do what matters most. Doing the right thing. And as we mature, we learn what that right thing is. And then we add on self-control, that we do it regardless of what is happening in our life, and that we add perseverance, that we persevere with people. As we mature, we grow on top of that, we become more like God. We grow and we become like him. And on top of that, as we mature, it says that we learn to love one another, that we add on brotherly kindness. So what is brotherly kindness? According to the Greek, it's the word Philadelphia. As we know, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that's exactly what it is. It's kindness towards a family member. And I thought this was interesting because Philadelphia, that word in in the Greek world back then was specifically used when talking about the love that you had for a family member. You know, I love my mom. I love my brother. I love my grandfather. You know, I love my grandparents. You know, it's a love that's referred to one that is in our family. And yet this was the word that Peter used, which would not have been common. He used this word when referring to loving one another, brotherly kindness. He says to love each other like family members, which is what we're going to define brotherly kindness as loving fellow believers like family. Loving fellow believers like family. I love how John puts it. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God, and he knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." He's saying that as we become like God, you know, we talked about godliness last week. As we add on godliness, as we allow the Holy Spirit to make us more like him, the more we become like God, the more his love is going to fill us, and the more that we are going to love other people. Specifically, he says, loving one another. At the end of the day, Peter's talking about family. Loving one another like family. And when you and I were born again, the Word of God says that we were born into the family of God. You see, before you knew Christ, before we knew Christ, the Word of God tells us that you and I were alienated from God. What that means is that you and I were far from God. We were so far that we were excommunicated. We had no chance with God. Our eternity was bleak before Christ. We were alienated, is what Ephesians 2 says. But when we received Christ, the Bible says that we were brought near to him, and it says that we were adopted into the family of God. He adopted us into his family. Not only did he save your soul, but then he then took you and made you a part of his family. It tells us in Romans 8, it tells us that our spirit cries out to God and we call him Father. God has become our Father. And not only did he become our Father, but as we are born again to the family of God, we have become brothers and sisters. At the end of the day, we are all family. And when it comes to being a part of the family of God, we were born into his family, but not as an only child. You know, you and I, when we were born into God's family, we weren't born in as an only child, meaning that it's not just about us. It's not just about me. Instead, we were born into a family with many brothers and sisters. God has many children, and he expects for us to love all his kids the same. It's interesting whenever I think about it that way. You know, I remember whenever Naomi, you know, my oldest, you know, I have four daughters, you know, for those who don't know, and my oldest, Naomi, when she was born, I mean, what a sweet baby girl she was. I mean, she was, you know, great, wonderful. And whenever Maya was born, I mean, she was such a great big sister. Loved her, was there for her, you know, would help change her diapers, you know, would want to help dress her. I mean, she was the best big sister. Now, whenever Maya turned about 18 months, around 18 to 2 years old, Maya wanted all the attention. And she started trying to steal attention. In fact, she would get upset whenever Naomi got any attention. And, you know, of course, you know, first Naomi was kind of like, you know, okay, hey. And then, you know, Maya is you know, swiping at her, pushing her. And after a while, Naomi got tired of that. Next thing you know, they start fighting. And we had to help Naomi understand that, you know, she has to go through a phase. and so do you. You got to learn to just love her, you know. And after a while, they started fighting all the time. And we all know what that's like. And you know, they had to learn. Naomi had to learn to mature, to understand that she's going through a phase. Okay, you don't need to fight with her. You don't need to argue with her. Just love her. Give her some grace. Show her some grace. Well, Maya had to learn the same lesson because Nora was born and she was trying to dominate the attention. Nora, man, that girl, she is something else. And right now, Maya has had to learn the same lesson that Naomi had to learn. And listen, Maya has done a really good job. She has learned to allow Naomi, whenever she wins, it doesn't mean that she loses. You know, she can celebrate Naomi. Okay, she's learned that. And she, you know, she's in the process of learning, you know, to show grace to Nora. And Nora is having to learn the same thing with Malay. It's just a process. And similarly, you know, there are lessons that are learned, just like there are lessons that are learned within the family structure, within the household, there are also lessons that we learn within God's household. Because I believe that the family of God is best expressed within the local church, within the body of Christ, within the local church. Here, the learning to love one another is best seen here within the body of Christ. And let me tell you, that's one of the reasons why I love this church. If there's one thing about this church, you know, we reach out, we help people, and we love one another. We love each other like family. You know, I've been here for, it'll be 12 years in, 12 years. It'll be 12 years in August. And I can definitely say that since I've been here, it's been like family. It has. But it's not always easy. Because, you know, the fact is, in your household, you're stuck with family. It's, you know, and we have to learn to show grace to one another. And similarly, within church, you know, we learn to love one another and learn to show grace. We learn that it's not just about us. We learn to love one another and to be kind to one another because that is what God expects for his family. You know, the fact is that we get to fellowship with believers. It's one of the reasons why I believe church is so important, because we get to fellowship with one another. We get to spend time with one another. And it is true that we do run into some people that we don't vibe with very well. That's true. It's just the way it is. However, we're expected to still love one another. You know, I don't think that my children learn to love each other without maturing. Same thing for your children, for those who have kids. Same thing within the body of Christ. You know, we don't learn to love one another without maturing, and that is what it takes to learn that it's not just about us. It takes growing up to realize that family doesn't revolve around me. We all had to learn that at some point. And similarly, we too mature spiritually when we learn that it's not about us. So a few things that are true about, about loving one another. One of the things that, you know, that we teach our kids is how to be a good sister. You know, I value high with me being a good brother. I try my best to be a good brother. You know, how can we be good? You know, how can we love one another? You know, good siblings, you know, they're there for each other. One thing I love about our church is that we're there for each other. We are. We should be there for other people. Okay, good siblings love each other through thick and thin. I've seen that as a reality in our church. It's important for us to love people through things. Good siblings support each other. They celebrate each other. It's good to celebrate when somebody wins. Good siblings reach out to each other, forgive one another, apologize when we're wrong. Can I get an amen? for us to apologize when we're wrong, to be patient with each other, sympathize with one another. When someone hurts, we hurt. When someone grieves, we grieve, and we're there for them. Now, I think, obviously, Jesus, he is our greatest example when it comes to this very thing, because Jesus, he said this very thing, one of the last things that he would say to his disciples before he would be arrested. He says this in chapter 13 of the book of John. He says this, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." He says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Now, Jesus, he is our greatest example, and he is telling his disciples to love one another the way that I have loved you. So, three things that I want to point out on how Jesus loved his disciples, how Jesus loves us, and showing us how we should love one another. Number one, Jesus humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus, whenever he made this statement, before he said this, Jesus, he had just finished washing the disciples' feet. Now listen, we all know people who got some busted feet, okay? We all know people, all right? All right? All right? At this time, they were wearing sandals, walking in the desert pretty much all day. Okay, so you know they had some dusty feet, okay? They had dirty feet, all right? And Jesus, he washes their feet. Now, it was common for people, if someone who was visiting your home, if you were here, if you were there in this time, it was normal for someone visiting your home to have their feet washed. However, it wouldn't have been you. It would have been a lowly servant. A lowly servant would have been the one washing their feet. And Jesus takes upon the role of a lowly servant, and he washes his disciples' feet, and he tells them to love one another just as I have loved you. You know, in our love for one another, if we are to love each other like Jesus loved, it's important for us to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. It's not about getting what we want. It's about serving other people. Jesus showed He showed us that by humbling ourselves and serving others, that is essential when it comes to brotherly love, to brotherly kindness. He humbled himself. Secondly, Jesus forgave. On his way to the cross, Jesus, one of his disciples betrayed him. Almost all of his disciples deserted him. Almost all of them abandoned him. And then on top of that, Peter, he himself denied ever knowing him. And yet, you know, Jesus would later restore these disciples, and he would fellowship with them again whenever he rose from the dead. Now listen, Jesus, in his humanity, he had the right to be upset. But instead, he chose to forgive them. He forgave his disciples. He forgave them. And it's important that we do the same thing. You know, he wasn't going to charge them for the mistakes that they had made yesterday. But instead, he offered grace for the opportunity to invest in their future, their God-given future. And similarly, it's important that we do not allow the mistakes from the past to keep others from reaching their God-given potential. You know, thank God that he didn't do that for us. Thank God that he doesn't charge me for what I did yesterday. Thank God that he doesn't keep me bound for the mistakes that I made. Thank the Lord that he shows me grace. We too, if we're to love one another, we're going to have to show grace and to love and to forgive. Amen? And then thirdly, Jesus laid his life down. He laid his life down for us. He didn't try to save his own life. He gave it away. And he laid it down so that we would be lifted up. Jesus told his disciples to love one another in the same way that I have loved you, under the reality knowing that he was about to give his life. He had already predicted his death. And he was letting them know to love the same way. Jesus was trying to signify to his disciples that they were going to have to lay their life down for one another. Similarly, if we are going to love one another as Jesus loved, we must be willing to lay our lives down for one another. Meaning that we have to be willing to put aside our ego at times. You know? We have to be willing to exalt others, to celebrate others, and to sacrifice getting what we want for the benefit of somebody else. Man, what a great lesson that is. We have to lay our lives down. And I believe that the amount of godliness in our life can be measured by how we love one another. The amount of godliness in our life can be measured by how we love one another. I truly believe that. And by doing these things, we will know that we are following Jesus. So I'm going to go ahead and skip to my takeaways. Takeaway number one. Number one, I want to encourage you to be a part of God's family. Step in to God's family. I believe that there are blessings that come with being a part of God's family. And again, God's family is best expressed within the local church. Let me encourage you to receive the benefits, receive the blessings that come with being a part of his family and interacting with one another. Secondly, let me encourage you to invest in God's family. You know, it's good for us to receive, but it's even better whenever we can give. There are blessings in God's family because someone is showing kindness. We can receive blessings in God's family here in this church because someone is encouraging you. Someone is praying for you. Someone is checking up on you. And we can be the same thing for someone else. We can love one another by reaching out to somebody else, by meeting someone that we haven't met, someone who may be coming in for the first time. You know, we can show grace. We can show love to those coming in, and we can also forgive those who have hurt us. Let us not just be on the receiving end, but let us look to see how we can participate. Look to be kind to someone and encourage someone and pray for someone. And then thirdly, let us invite others into God's family as well. By loving one another, Jesus said that people will see that we are his followers. The light will shine. People will see, and they will want the same thing. Let us encourage others that there is room in God's family. Let us encourage others. Let's tell people of what God has done in our life. Let's invite them to church with us to see that they can also be a part and receive God's blessing and receive his love. Hopefully, that they'll give his life to him as well. Amen. Amen. And I want to end with this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 23, it says this. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently and with a pure heart. Amen. Amen. Let us be sincere in our love. You know, let's allow it to be real. You know, let's do our best to not let it be fake. But let's try in our heart to be sincere in our love for one another. And let's be fervent in our love. Let us be willing to go the extra mile, to take an extra step, to do something a little extra for someone else. You know, it's not going to hurt us. You know, let's be willing to go there. And then lastly, let us do it with a pure heart, as it says, with the right motives, not with ill intentions. not for our own benefit, but let's do it with the right heart. Amen? Let us love one another. Amen. Father God, we thank you, God, for your love that you show us, God, every day. And Lord, I pray as we draw closer to you, Father God, I pray, God, that our love, God, would be shown to one another, God, that we would love each other, God, like you love us, Father. God, I pray, Father, God, that we would show grace. God, I pray, Father God, that we would forgive. God, I pray, Lord, God, that we, God, would extend ourselves, God, that we would be fervent, God, in our love for each other. And God, I thank you, God, for the love that is already in this house, Father. God, I pray, Father God, that love, God, in our house, God, would grow. God, that it would stretch. And God, that it would reach, Father. God, and I pray that we would continue to reach, God, throughout the world. Father, thank you, God, for the blessing, God, that we have in this house. Lord, I pray that we would allow it to continue, God, for that love to continue to abound and continue to grow. In Jesus' name, we thank you. If you believe that and receive that, say amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.